Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Now, our call to worship. The Magi waited and watched, knowing something wondrous would be happening. We waited for the birth of Jesus. Now something wondrous is about to take root. The darkness that invaded all lives was banished by the light of that star. The darkness, what surrounds us, is gone. Let us celebrate the bright shining of God's love in our lives. Let us become those who will bring the light of God's love to others.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, the earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, the earth is filled with His glory. The earth
Let us join together now in our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. First scripture reading comes from the 60th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, join me as we read our scripture text from the second chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them the time that the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may too come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today is Epiphany according to the Christian calendar. Now, what do we mean by that? Epiphany really is that same word as in, wow, I just realized something I'd never thought of before. I've had an epiphany. It's a realization, a revelation, a moment of insight when what was previously muddy or confusing becomes crystal clear to us. In a Christian speak, an epiphany is a divine manifestation in the midst of human history. And in our gospel lesson for this morning, we see some very interesting folk. They're called magi. Magi is where we get our word magic from, and yet these guys are not magicians, they're not kings, they are more like astrologers, and something in the sky tells them that the cosmos are changing. The star is a symbol of the light of the world, which Jesus is, and they follow that light. When you live in a city, it can be easy to forget what it's like to get away from the street lights, the big buildings, the bright restaurant signs, the car headlights, and all the rest. Until 2020, I've spent several Julys teaching at Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque. One would think that an active military base in a large U.S. city would be bright and loud, but after the sun goes down, the night becomes quite desolate feeling, other than the occasional jetliner coming into the airport. The nights tend to be pitch dark, but the sky clear, so it isn't so pitch dark after all, because the stars and the moon are brilliant in focus and lit up the night as far as eyes can see, illuminating not only the sky, but the nearby Sandia Mountains. You know what I'm talking about. It's a breathtaking sight, is it not? It brings us closer to God in some way. It helps to remind us of our place in this vast eternal universe and of the mystery which surrounds us and causes us to wonder what it all means. Artificial lights can sometimes cause us to forget about God, to get off track, to waste time focusing more on the human than the divine, to begin to think that we are the gods rather than God himself. I don't know about you, but the light from the night sky often causes me to seek out God, the truth, the way, and the life. Helps me to refocus, to step into a bigger reality than my own small, boxed-in worldview. The ancient world didn't have any street lights, and many people, especially in the countries east of Palestine, had made the study of the stars and the planets into a fine art. And you know, if you're studying the stars, the night sky every night, how could you help but be a bit more in touch with God? More focused on the bigger picture than, say, someone like me. It may seem really odd that these non-Jewish astrologers would follow a star for probably about 2 years in order to find the new Jewish king. But the interesting thing is that just about the time that Jesus was born, there was a strange feeling in the world, a strange feeling of expectation about the coming of a king. Even the Roman historians of the time knew about this and wrote about it. For instance, at almost the same time as Jesus was born, Augustus, the Roman emperor, was being hailed as the savior of the world, and there was all kinds of talk about a coming Messiah. And so the Magi were people who experienced this strange feeling. They had heard the news, they had seen a sign in the sky, and they went for it. They're people who are searching. The world as they knew it was just not enough. There had to be more to it. And so they were open to God's call. And a lot of times, that's how our relationship with God begins, isn't it? We sense something calling us, a light, a shimmer of hope, a spark of love. And so we start on the journey. A United Methodist pastor named James Howe is quoted as saying, God seems to have put something unquenchable, a hankering into all of us. Yes, for God. We think we're looking for the next big thing, the big deal, the perfect person, the ultimate experience. Our favorite song, or the painting that you must have to hang on the wall. And we say, ooh, yes, I dig that. God says, you're getting warmer. Keep coming. It's me you're really after. Have you experienced that? Are you experiencing that now? Is it a continual longing or a continual journey for you? You know, when we dive into the eternal, there is way too much to absorb in just one experience, one epiphany. We're seeking to walk with God on a daily basis. Our lives become filled with epiphanies all over the place, nearly all of the time. When we get off course and we stop seeking, that is when life becomes drab, dark, and dull. That's one of the reasons it's so important to have a daily devotional life, whether it's reading the Upper Room every morning, the Bible, being involved in a Bible study whenever we're allowed, and definitely coming to worship on a weekly basis, as well as putting our faith into action through serving others in love. That can involve things so mundane as smiling and being friendly to the person taking your order at Burger King, being kind when we may not feel like it, keeping a tight rein on our tongue when we're tempted to talk bad about someone else behind their back. It could also involve volunteering with a food pantry or a youth group or teaching a Sunday school class or visiting those who are lonely, working for justice on behalf of the poor and the marginalized. There's a small group of teachers at my school whom we get to meet with on a fairly regular basis. And we talk about God and we look at scriptures and we listen to one another and we pray for one another. When I'm unable to make that meeting, I really, really, really miss it. It's a spiritual life raft for me. And so we continue to meet together. We find ourselves becoming very close friends. Do you have a group like that? If you don't, there is no reason why you can't start one. Maybe it's via the phone or email or by snail mail or by Zoom or Google Meets or maybe a socially distanced meeting might be okay. There's nothing more exciting than being on a journey with God along with other people. That's really what the church is about, isn't it? But so often we get off track, we get caught up in politics, we hold grudges, we don't treat one another with the love and compassion that they need. Because of this, we suffer, and the world suffers as well. According to a recent Pew Research poll, only 65% of American adults describe themselves as Christian, which is down 12% over the past decade. The ranks of the religiously unaffiliated, the atheists, agnostics, or nothing in particulars, have risen to 26%, a 9-point bump since 2009. The situation snowballs with each generation. For example, more than 8 in 10 members of the Silent Generation, those born between 1928 and 1945, they describe themselves as Christians. That's about 84%, as do 3/4 of baby boomers, 76%. In stark contrast, only 49% of millennials describe themselves as Christians. Some of this might strike us as not so shocking. After all, millennials are entering their prime working years. They've got to make their way, climb their ladders, pay down all that student loan debt somehow. So what if they don't get as much time for what the surveys call civic and religious engagement right now? Most of us tend to believe in a life cycle effect. Yes, people may drift away from their church when they're young, but they tend to come back when they have kids and things seem to settle down. Except, that's not happening. It seems that millennials are leaving Christianity and they're not coming back. What are we to make of this? First, there's the reminder that millennials aren't as young as they used to be. Being born from 1981 to 1996 means that at the upper end, some millennials are 39 years old. By then, you could be on your second spouse, your third career. 30% of millennials have children now under the age of 6. So the majority of millennials aren't drifting back into worshiping, and yet according to statistics, they still want relationships and to be part of something bigger than themselves. And their drive for these things aren't likely to wane. An article I read this past week says some millennials are turning to convenient, low-commitment substitutes for faith and fellowship. The easy spiritualism of yoga and self-care, posting away on social media and playing more games. Video games, they're twice as likely to spend hours and hours playing video games than non-millennials. The article continues, what is really worrying about these things is that few of these activities are geared toward building deep relationships and community support like the churches that the millennials are leaving behind. Actively participating in a congregation means becoming part of a family. This involves us in the lives of others and the other way around. leaving church. Millennials are shrugging off the ties that bind, not just loosening them temporarily. In longer range studies, researchers are also seeing that millennials are busier, but also much more lonely. Now, a recent poll by YouGov just confirmed that millennials are surpassing my generation and many of yours as the loneliest of generations. The YouGov report found that 30% of millennials always or often feel lonely. About 1 in 5 people in this age range, at 23 to 39, say they have no friends. 27% say they have no close friends, and 30% say they have no best friend. It's been said that these surveys are like MRIs for the soul. They give you a snapshot of busy millennial life that many will easily attribute to their phase of life. But while phases pass, the underlying needs and wants will continue to matter. What happens when sleeping, working, and gaming more than their elders begins to make less sense? If they're closing the church doors behind them, then they will have to find somewhere else to tend to their spirits and to their hearts. Again, God seems to have put some unquenchable hankering into all of us for God. As we begin a new year, it is easy to become overwhelmed by the state of our world. It seems like every day there's some mass shooting somewhere. There are more wildfires in California. They're frightening. We always seem to be on the brink of another war. But instead of looking at all this and wringing our hands, how about we look at all this and we get excited about the sheer number of folks who live right around us and they're searching for God, whether they're aware of it or not. This year, I began to teach with a young Mormon woman and have had the opportunity to hear her speak about her faith, frankly, one that many of my mainline Christian friends aren't too familiar with. And in explaining it to someone at our table, she said something that stuck with me. She said, "We don't argue about Jesus. We just try and focus on love." Isn't that what it's all about? Love God and love others. That's what Jesus Christ taught. That is how he lived, and ultimately, that is why he died. God is love, and love is the light shining in the darkness. Love is that which evil cannot overcome. Love is what we all need. It's the most important thing in the world. It is the epiphany. People still seek it. May we help them find it by being like stars shining in the night sky, leading them to Christ through love, helping them to travel by a different route than their own, so that we can all experience and live into a different kind of life. May it be so. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for sending Jesus to fulfill your very promise, the promise that you had that you would send a Savior to redeem us. Father, I also thank you for leading me to a relationship with Jesus so that I too might be a part of your eternal kingdom, your plan for us since the beginning of time, that we would be with you for eternity. Thank you, Father, for the gift of Jesus to this world, that we all might live and reign with you forever. Thank you, Father, for the vision of the Magi as they sought the light of the world and they found him. Father, may this world see Jesus in a different way. May we come to Jesus in ways unspeakable, that he might do unspeakable things in us. We pray these things, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, who led us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." There's a star in the east.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.